This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Christian perspective on the news does not necessarily reflect the opinions of Radio K Pulpit or the on-air presenter, but is the independent viewpoint of the individual contributor. Please send an email to info@kpulpit.co.za should you have any further inquiries.
Christian perspective on the news.
Dr. Hammond, he's the founder of Frontline Fellowship, the Reformation Society, Africa Christian Action, and the William Carey Bible Institute. Good morning, Dr. Hammond.
Good morning, Brad. And yes, I do love homeschooling, and I never regretted it. One of the best decisions my wife and I made was to homeschool our four lovely children, and what an adventure. Mm. And in fact, my one daughter had the opportunity, the privilege of being in the first homeschool matric dance in not just Cape Town, but South Africa. So we're really on the cusp of the homeschool movement. At the first home school expo back in 30 years ago, 1995, we had three exhibitors, which was Theocentric Christian Education, the oldest homeschool provider in our country, Accelerate Christian Education, and Christian Liberty Books. And the last homeschool expo we went to last year, there were more than 100 exhibitors of homeschool curriculum providers and various services related to homeschooling. So it's an idea whose time has come. Well, by God's grace, I returned yesterday from an inspiring event in the Transvaal, the Future of Nations Conference, which attracted participants from as far afield as Hungary and the Netherlands and Belgium, France, Italy, Cyprus, Iran. From the Cape of Good Hope, of course, I was representing the Cape of Good Hope, and the United States of America. The event began at the inspiring, imposing, historic Fort Rucker Monument on Tuesday evening, the 24th of February, and Lex Libertas were the hosts. The Lex Libertas Future of Nations Conference convened on Wednesday the 25th, and it was described as an international policy and ideas conference focused on the future of nations, the future of political order in a changing world, with particular emphasis on self-governance, self-determination, autonomy, decentralization, and the role of nations and communities. Lex Libertas describes itself as a South African-based think tank and advocacy group with growing international reach, which it obviously had. The conference brought together policymakers and intellectuals and political leaders and entrepreneurs, media personalities, civil activists from different regions to explore the practical, principled alternatives to the destructive policy ideas that are coming from government models which are divorced from social, cultural, and economic realities. Well, to give you an idea of the reach, the speakers included Stefano Forte, the president of the New York Young Republicans Club, which is the oldest and biggest Young Republicans Club in America, and Jaco Clarence, head of the International Liaisons of Solidarity, and Tom van Grieken, leader of Vlaams Belang in Belgium, and Dr. Christopher van Asch, president of the South African Tyrolean Friendship Association. Tyrol is a German-speaking part that should be part of Austria, but was incorporated in Italy because of the Versailles Treaty at the end of the First World War. So Tyrol, Professor Kurs Milan, the constitutional jurist, Rob Hersov, the well-known entrepreneur, Prince Mashele, political analyst, Zoltan Koskovic, a geopolitical analyst from the Center for Fundamental Rights in Hungary, Advocate Mia Duplessis from the High Court in Cape Town, and Dr. Ernst Roots, of course, the executive director of Lex Libertas, who is the actual convener of the event. And I had the privilege of opening up the conference with scripture and prayer and representing the Cape of Good Hope with the opening message of Let My People Go. Well, it was a joy to meet with a lot of old friends, good friends, that I knew from Iran, from Transvaal, from the South African Defence Force days, including people from Special Forces. There was the general who ran Special Forces. There's a chaplain of one reconnaissance commander, people I've known from many years, and media personalities like Willem Petzer, Ronaldo Hirsch, And on Wednesday, I had three radio and TV interviews, including one for American. Yesterday, I had another TV interview with a Congolese station. And it's very good to meet new friends from Europe and United States as well. Well, I summarized the presentations of this amazing event in these words. The speakers focused on sovereignty, identity, and freedom. The clash of civilizations, which is confronting us. The battle between those who want to save and preserve civilization and those who seem determined to destroy civilization. As I said, the issue is not between left and right. It's between globalists and nationalists. And the state is not to be confused with the nation. The state is not the architect of nations. A nation is an ethnolinguistic people group with a shared faith. And I made this point heavily in the scripture reading from Exodus 10, where God tells Pharaoh, "Let my people go." The nation of Israel grew out of the secession from Egypt. In the Bible, a nation is not a geographic accident. It's a group of people who speak the same language and share the same faith. And the scriptures make it clear the Hebrews never became Egyptians. Despite spending 480 years in Egypt, the Hebrews remained Hebrews. So we're not geographic accidents, we're demographic descendants. And the scripture emphasizes that all the families of the nations of the earth are going to sing the praise of the Creator in every tongue and language. And we read in Revelation 5 verse 9, which is a wonderful part of Handel's Messiah. And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." When the Lord Jesus gave the Great Commission to make disciples of every nation, he used the word ethne, out of which you get a word ethnic or ethno-linguistic people group. So the Great Commission is not just to make disciples of individuals, but of nations, every nation. And a nation is an ethno-linguistic people group with a shared faith. So some speakers described the nation as collective memory, collective conscience, culture, and community. The state is often detached from reality. I mean, borders are never permanent. And throughout history, we can see borders have changed dramatically. For example, the borders of the Babylonian Empire, which once covered a lot of the Middle East, has changed dramatically. The Persian Empire, of course, has changed dramatically over the centuries, as has the Greek. And the Roman Empire, of course, which once covered the entire Mediterranean world and ruled as far as Scotland. Mm. Well, although the British Empire once ruled one quarter of the world's land surface and one quarter of the world's population, now they can barely protect their own border of England itself. And we need to reject the globalist assertion that borders are fixed. Many of the borders we are burdened with in Africa were actually determined by foreigners in the Berlin Conference of 1885, and they often used rulers and pencils to impose arbitrary boundaries without regard to the ethno-linguistic realities on the ground. And the result has been not only splitting up people, but also countless wars and unnecessary suffering and oppression. In many cases, the solution is to redraw the boundaries, such as we achieved with the secession of South Sudan. And Somaliland needs to be supported. As a successful example of self-determination, Somaliland seceded from the chaos of a failed state in Somalia, and Somaliland's doing very well, while Somalia is not. And the English speakers of Cameroon also need support, as they're suffering under the predominantly French section of Cameroon. And the Congo is far too large a state and needs to be subdivided into workable sections that recognize the ethno-linguistic realities on the ground and allow self-determination for the people who are now suffering from the failures of a very centralized system that fails to meet the most basic needs of their far-flung populations. In the same way, the arbitrary borders imposed by the British on the Union of South Africa in 1910, basically at the point of bayonets at the end of the ruinous Anglo-Boer War, this forced very diverse nations into an increasingly centralized state that threatens the basic freedoms of its many diverse people. And we need to build momentum for a better world where borders serve people instead of people being forced to serve borders. Governments are meant to protect and serve their citizens, not that it happens often.
Mm.
And if the government hates you and the government wants to steal your land and glamorizes killing you, then it's not your government. And we need to answer the questions, who are we? We need to return to our roots, return to God, restore our work ethic. What makes a nation? Not a state, not a constitution. People make a nation. Nations are built by pioneers, fathers, mothers, farmers, builders, architects, poets, musicians, authors, visionaries. And many of the speakers made this emphasis. We need to return to God. We need to recommit to our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to reject those who reject our God and those who reject our culture and our people. And it's no good complaining and whining. We must make a plan. We must build. We must, like the farmer says, you know, and boer mak en plan. We need to be the boer, be the pioneer, get married, raise large families, take control of your own future, build a better future for your children and grandchildren. And the emphasis was made that our children need security and skills, a strong work ethic, and a strong faith. Democracy needs to be decentralized. In many cases, private institutions have stepped in where the government has failed. Private schools and homeschooling because state schools are failing. Private security companies because the state is failing to protect its own citizens. Private hospitals because state hospitals are failing. Private initiatives for electricity because the state Eskom electricity provider specializes in blackouts, power failures, and what they like to call load shedding. And community improvement districts because the municipalities often fail to maintain basic service and standards. The private sector always outperforms the public sector. Decentralization is essential for freedom. I like one of the quotes, freedom flows from truth, and the truth will set you free, although the truth can also get you thrown in jail in some communist hellhole like North Korea or England. And England, they locked up 16,000 people last year just for thought crimes, for things they said or posted or even prayed. They even arrested a grandmother for praying. We need to focus on solutions. We need to focus on what we have in common rather than harping on what we have in what we differ on. So one conclusion statement by Dr. Ernst Rich was, use your brains, think. Use your eyes, observe and do research. Use your hands and feet, act, do the work, build. And at the end of the conference, the various parties and participants signed a Future of Nations Conference Declaration, which very much advocates a decentralization, autonomy, and self-determination. So let's pray and let's follow the biblical principles of all authority is limited, delegated, and accountable to Almighty God. As our Lord said, you would have no power at all unless it had been delegated to you from above. We are answerable to God for everything we think, do, and everything that we believe. God bless.
That's the voice of Dr. Peter Hammond, the founder of Frontline Fellowship, the Reformation Society, Africa Christian Action, and the William Carey Bible Institute. Dr. Hammond, thanks for your time, and here's to a really great weekend. Until next time.
Thank you so much, Brad.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.